Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Let's just read it again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. See, they came in there ready to receive. They came in there hungry. They came in there ready to receive the word of God. Although their minds were ready, and they're ready to receive. And searched, and then they did more. They searched the scriptures daily. They didn't just take the preacher's word for it. They got that book out off the closet or out of the cupboard or out of the shelf or wherever it's hidden. And they got it out and they dusted it off and they opened it up and they spent time searching the scriptures to see if those things they were preached to or were taught were really true. Because you just don't believe everything you hear out of a pulpit. I'm going to tell you right now from experience as a baby Christian, I was told a lot of things, crazy things. And I decided I didn't even know that verse existed, but I got a hold of the word of God and I said, God, I'm going to hear from you. I'm going to hear from you and I'm going to search the scriptures and I'm going to search the scriptures and I'm going to find out if what they're telling me is the truth. And that's what I tell people everywhere. I think everybody needs to be aware that you've got your part to do. Make sure it's true. If you hear something that doesn't set right with you in here, then you get your Bible, do your homework, take some time, and search it out. Search it out for yourself. Because there's something about when you get a little effort involved, it means more to you. Do you know that when you just give anything just handed to you and everything just given to you, and you didn't have to work a lick for that, it don't mean as much to you. But if you search it out for yourself, and you do some hard work in that area, and you find out this is the truth, it means way more to you than somebody just laying it on your lap with a silver platter. And the same thing is true with money or anything else. If you're just handed something, you'll be frivolous with it. You won't take care of it. But if you worked sweat and blood and bones for that, you would work. You would take care of it better. So when you look at the scriptures and you realize this is precious, these scriptures are precious, I'm sharing with you. You could just come here and get fed all day long because I've done my homework. I've done my due diligence. You got to do your due diligence because it really means more to you when you do it. So these people, they really were readiness of mind and they searched the scriptures daily. I read the Bible every day. I have to because don't you eat breakfast or lunch or supper? Don't you eat a meal every day? Don't you realize that if you don't eat a meal every day, you get physically weak? Your brain don't think right? You get tired? You get worn out? You kind of need some physical energy? Well, the same thing is true for the Word of God. The Word of God, the Scriptures, are your spirit food. It's spiritual food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we know we have to spend time searching out the Word. And the way I do it is I say, Lord, I get up and I pray. And I say, now, Lord, I know I'm going to hear a word from you today. See, anymore, I know I'm going to hear a word. I just go open the Bible and there a word is. But before, when I first became a Christian, I started, I didn't understand a lot of things. And I began to say, God, what do you want to tell me today? Tell me what, and I mean, it's still like that. But it's like, I used to just, have to almost talk him into it. And he's so more ready to give me his word than for me to talk him into it. In fact, most Christians are always trying to talk God into something. Do you know that? Rather than understanding that he's already promised you all this, he's already promised you this, this, and this, and this, and we're still begging for it and asking him to come down and do it when he's already said it belongs to you already. We're trying to get him to come down and do something he's already done. We're trying to talk him into it when he's already done it. How dumb is that? How dumb is that of us? It's just plain old ignorance. Plain old ignorance is all it is. And it's not all mean stupid. I just mean you just don't know any better. You don't know how to walk in what he's already provided because you don't want what he's provided already. It's still you're trying to talk him into doing it for you when he's already done it. All you got to do is find a word on it. I'm telling you, all you got to do is find a word on it. Find a word on it and believe it. Whew. Glory. Y'all feel that? Just got to believe the word. It's really not that hard. But it is hard if you don't know the word, because you're always trying to talk God into doing something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to look at verse 12. Paul said this. Ready there? Galatians 1, verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let me just think about this a minute, because most of us are we're here to be taught today. We're here to hear something. I'm here to hear something from God, and I want to be taught. I want to hear a word from God, and I want to be taught a word. But I'm telling you, this kind of teaching is not like going into a classroom situation in the secular world and enrolling in a college class and saying, okay, or a school class and say, okay, can you teach me now algebra? Can you teach me now, geometry? Or can you teach me something? Put it on a chalkboard and make it clear to me. Because these things that I'm sharing today are not natural things. They're not natural. I cannot actually teach you the Word of God. Do you know that? I can share with you the revelation that I have, and the Holy Spirit will bring to you a word through me, and He'll help me teach the Word of God, because I have a teaching gift. But when it comes right down to it, it isn't something a human being can teach you. Paul says, I was not taught it. I didn't receive it of a man. I happen to be a person, and you're hearing word out of me, but you are not going to get this today because you hear me talk to you. This is something that God does supernaturally. He makes an impartation of revelation into your human spirit. It's lodged in your human spirit. It becomes something alive in you, something that you can use and effectively walk in on a daily basis. You don't ever have to consult your flesh no more about it. You don't have to consult another person about it. You don't have to consult a friend about it. You don't have to consult your neighbor about it. You don't have to call somebody up and say, is this true or not? Because you've already received it of Jesus Christ, Himself through the Holy Spirit who's in you. Pretty cool, really. When you start realizing it's all by the Holy Spirit. And He said, I only speak what I hear Him say to me. He said, I don't speak of myself. Jesus said this about Him. He said, He doesn't speak what He hears on His own. He only speaks what He hears me say or hears God say. Holy Ghost is in you to be your teacher. He's in you to be your guide. He's in to be your comforter. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is so real to me. And He's been so real to me because I've been through some desperate situations in my life to where either I did not learn to lean on Him, I would have probably died. Literally died. And I just learned how to lean on Him to be my strength. Whatever it is I really needed Him to be. I mean, He will be anything you need Him to be to you. But the most important thing He'll do is reveal Jesus to you in a way that the head can't get it. Your brain will not receive this revelation because it's not a revelation of the flesh. It's not a revelation of the mind. It's not something a man can teach you. It's something that comes by the Holy Spirit through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus said in the beginning, in St. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Jesus is the Word of God. So let me read this again. Actually, I'm going to read 11 and 12 together. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it. Now you are going to be able to say the same thing. I didn't receive this from man. Well, the revelation I'm walking around in, I didn't get this from nobody. Now God used people. God did use people to help me along the way. But I didn't get this from man. This came straight out of heaven. And I got a revelation from heaven. I put myself in a position to get it. I put myself in a place of humbling. You know, there's a scripture that talks about in Peter. It said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Most people never know what it is to really be humble enough to hear from God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he can exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I learned how to just be so humble. You know, it's not hard to be humble when you're broke. It's not hard to be humble when everybody hates you. It's not hard to be humble when you've got sickness in your body. It's really not hard to be humble, but it's really hard to be humble when you're on top of the world and everything's going your way and you got everything you need. What do you need to be humble for? You know? That's why a lot of people never get nothing from God, because they don't know how to be humble. And you know why God won't make some people rich? It's because when they're rich, they're not humble. When they're rich and they got everything, they don't need to be humble anymore. But I'm telling you what, it's the humble that hear from God. It's the humble people that know how to hear from God, hear God, know God. And it's a way of life, really, because you got to recognize God is an almighty God. He's a powerful, awesome God, and he just wants to give you everything he can give you. But you got to be willing to hear him. And you receive it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't this wonderful news? Takes all the pressure off. You know, I used to have to think, oh my goodness, I got to study. And then I began to realize, no, I've already promised you I'm going to write my word in your heart. I'm going to write it in your mind. I'll place it in your mind. I'm going to do it. It's a covenant. I got that covered. I keep covenant. I never break covenant. Go with me to Hebrews and I'll share that verse. I can remember when the Lord spoke this to me and he gave me this revelation of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Hebrews 8, verse 10. He said to me, I had my little baby in this high chair and I got my Bible open right here. You see, I read my Bible all day long, every day, just about. I mean, I had my Bible open all the time. I'm cleaning house. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing dishes. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing something with God. I'm talking with God all the time. I go to work, and it was hard to talk turkey when I first got in the back end of the workforce, because I'd been talking to God for so long. And then I'd lay hands on people and get them healed I just saw wild kinds of things happen to me. But look at Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall be to me a people. I'm a people, a God. I'm a God people. I'm a God person. You're a God person. You want to be a God person. Believe me, you want to be a God person. Yes. Everybody in here wants to be a God person. And the more God person you are, depends on how much word is in you. How much word has God downloaded into you? How much revelation of Jesus Christ do you have? How much have you received of him? It's not a matter of how much does he want to give you. He wants to give it all to you. He wants to give you the whole thing. He wants you to get everything. And if you've been told that you ain't supposed to know everything, that's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the devil. But he wants to give you everything, and he wants you to know everything, but you can't handle everything at once. So it takes time for the Holy Spirit to give you the revelations of Jesus Christ that are taught by the Holy Spirit. Because there's things that you wouldn't get. You just couldn't grasp this until you got this. And then once you get this, then this starts making sense. And I'm still getting things. I'm sitting down, wow, I see that now better. Wow, I see this better. In fact, like I said last week, it's multiplication time now for me. Everybody starts out the same way. It's added and multiplied. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge. So the covenant is, I'm going to put it in your mind. I'm going to write it in your heart. I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, what makes that happen is how much word you have in you. How much law of God. How much word of God. how much revelation Word of God, not just knowing a bunch of stuff. A lot of people know the Word of God. A lot of people know God. A lot of people know Scripture. They know Scripture. They can quote Scripture. I can quote Scripture with the best of them. But it's, what do I really believe what I'm quoting? What do I'm actually living out and acting like it's true is what I'm really receiving. You can tell if somebody's really received a revelation because you act like it's true. You walk in it. You kind of just like swimming. It becomes like, you know, I know how to swim. I know how to swim. You throw me in 20 feet of water, I'm going to be okay. But you throw some people in 20 feet of water, they're going to drown because they don't know how to swim in that water. There's revelation they don't have yet. And if you throw them into that revelation, they would drown because they don't have it. They can't walk in it. They can't live in it. They can't swim in it. They can't do it because it's just way over their head. They ain't got it yet. So the grace of God is so big and so great in all of our lives that He wants us to know how to swim in His Word, enjoy His Word, live in it, experience it, operate in it, live it out. You know, living life out loud, you've heard that kind of expression. Mm-hmm. And really what you're doing, you're living the Word out loud. Do you know the biggest indicator is fear? Because the devil is the author of fear. If you are afraid of failing, you'll fail. If you're afraid of dying, chances are you could die. If you're afraid of whatever you're afraid of, chances are real good that'll happen to you. Because Job said it was the thing that he greatly feared that came upon him. Fear opens the door to the enemy. Fear opens the door to the works of darkness. And you want to close all those doors that you can. I mean, slam them shut, slam them shut, slam them shut, slam them shut. When I meet people that are sick, when I meet people who want prayer, the first thing I find out from God, I say, God, what opened the door to this? What avenue did the devil use to get to them? Because if they were in the Word of God, if they were covering themselves with the Word, they would not have that problem. The devil can't get to a Christian. Devil ain't supposed to be able to get to you. But there's a door that opens up thanks to the enemy. Now you got to search the Scriptures, make sure what I'm telling you are true, right? That's what I want everybody to do. Don't just take my word for what I'm sharing, but search the Scriptures. Find out if what I'm saying is true or not. Find out for yourself, because then it'll really mean more to you. Remember, you work for something, it means more to you, right? Right. You take it more careful. You're more careful with it. Proverbs 4:20, and we're going to read verse 20, 21, 22, and 23, and 24. Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. I believe, personally, as I study the word, I believe this is the Holy Ghost talking to us. I believe the Holy Ghost is talking because all Scripture is written by inspiration of God. So this is God talking to us. So let's listen to God. Let's listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He said, my son, that's me, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Here's revelation. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Now, if I was praying for somebody who's sick or got a problem in their life, the first thing I would ask God, I always ask God, I say, God, what door did they open that brought this upon them? Because this is a part of the curse. Sickness is a curse. Sickness is definitely comes through the curse. Did you understand that? Sickness is not from God. Sickness doesn't come from heaven. Sickness is on the earth because the curse is still here on the earth. And the curse came when Adam fell. And then there's something called the curse of the law. So we know there's a curse out there. And Christians have been redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus became a curse for you and I. So if there's sickness, disease, or any problems at all, and I'm talking in my own life too, as the enemy comes in like a flood, or if he even comes in, some people say that scripture different. Some people say, and like a flood, the standard of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. It doesn't matter how he comes. He only comes usually to something we have done ourselves to open the door. Because once you're born again, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now we have to recognize the enemy is always going to be after us. He's always going to be after me. He's always going to be after you. Because he's not after me, really. He really don't particularly care about me one way or the other. But he's after the word that's in me. He's after the revelation that I have that's in me. He's after what I know that I'm working in is in me. Now, if I'm just a casual Christian that don't really do much for God and I ain't got no revelation, he really just kind of lets me alone. He might try to take me out because I might be a threat later on. But if he starts seeing you do something for God, buddy, he really bounces up his forces against you. But you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to succumb to him. Attacked. But being attacked is different than actually having something. I'm trying to make a point here. The biggest reason the enemy is in our lives is usually because of what we are saying. This is a fact. This is not a maybe I think so. This is a no so. I know this. I know that you, as a Christian, you and I as Christians, we give the devil legal access to our lives because of what we are saying more than any other time. If you would not say certain things, he wouldn't be able to use it against you. But he takes your own words and is able then to have an avenue to get to you. Because you will say what you believe. So it really is important that you believe the word of God and you start saying what the word says instead of what you think. You see, when you start living in the natural, we're just natural people. Natural things happen to us. We start talking natural talk. But see, because you're not natural anymore, you're our supernatural. You are now a people of God, right? Did I not show you with you? Jesus said, I'm going to have a people of God. This is the covenant. I'm going to write my word because I want a people. Now that you are his people, the most important challenge to his people are to believe what he has put in them. What word is he written in your heart? What word is he written, placed in your mind? And you begin to say what he's put in you. Do not agree with the enemy. Do not agree with the devil. Do not agree with your neighbor. Don't agree with your friend. Don't agree with your husband. Don't agree. If it's contrary to what God has put in you, do not agree with it, because if you do, it opens a door to the devil to get to you. If God has given you a word on prosperity, if you have a revelation, remember you weren't taught it of man, but it came to you by revelation of Jesus Christ. If you have a revelation on prosperity, then you better be careful what you talk about when it comes to that word of prosperity. Because if you start talking out of your head and start talking out of the revelation that God has given you of prosperity, then you're giving access to the devil to come and make you poor and steal from you. If you have been given a revelation of healing and you know that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, every single time you talk sickness, you're giving the devil access to your life. It's a door opener. It is such a door opener to him. I only speak what I know I hear my Father say. Just like the Holy Spirit only speaks what he hears his Father, hears the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did the same thing. He said, I only do the works that the Father's doing the works. I only do what I hear him say. So we just need to be like Jesus and only do what he's put in us to believe. And that's what it says here. Keep it your heart. Keep your heart. What he puts in your heart, did I not read in the new covenant, he's going to place that word in your heart. We start living out of our heart. We start living out of our heart. And then you get your mind agreeing with the word of God in your heart. He said, I'll place my word in your mind and in your heart. Then you only attach your mouth to the word that's in you, the revelation word. It's the revelation word that'll put you over every time. Because the devil can't do nothing with the word. You can't whip the devil. I can't whip the devil. I am absolutely powerless when it comes to whipping the devil. I can't whip the devil. I mean, I would absolutely, he would zap me. He's a very powerful spiritual being. But I know who's already defeated him. See, he's already been defeated. When you get over into that territory, in revelation knowledge, you get over to that place. That's where everybody's supposed to be living, by the way. It's not supposed to be a place you're trying to get to. It's a place you live. It's a place we stay. If we're going to do anything for God in these last days, we better get there, because you start talking to people about Jesus. You start witnessing to people like I have. It absolutely infuriates the devil. You lead someone to Jesus? I've led people to Jesus. Don't you think I'm on his hit list? Huh? But do you think it makes me afraid? Am I afraid of the devil? Better not get nobody saved. He's really going to be mad at me. Well, that ain't no attitude for a Christian to have. Walking around afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. If you're still afraid of the devil, it's going to hinder your work of God, work for God. You won't be effective as you should be. Because he will come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his nature. His nature is kill, steal, and destroy. He knows nothing but that. So this is where we got to grow. This is where we got to absolutely get to a place where we know who we are in Christ. We know who we are. We know what he's put in us. And we're walking in the revelation that he's given us. And get all the revelation you can. Search the scriptures daily and just know that he's wanting you to know these things. He's wanting us to be so full of him. Praise God. Go with me to Galatians again. Let's go back to Galatians. And it's chapter 3. Let's start with verse 11. Chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. Everybody know that? The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. Everybody get this, okay? Because this is super important. The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith if the law is not of faith. We think the Ten Commandments are of faith. You mean if I can't, I just give me a list of things to do because I'm such a good doer. I'm such a good doer person. I'm so used to doing. I'm a human doing, you know. I'm always doing. Working. I'm so good at keeping instructions. I am the best doer you ever met. You give me a job and give me a list of things to do. I can do it. I can do that. But see, faith isn't a doing thing. Faith is a believing thing. Faith is a revelation thing. You can do the law and feel righteous. Did you know that? You can do a lot of good things and feel like you're okay. But doing things and doing the law is not what gives you faith. I'm a doer of the word. Oh yeah, I am. But I'm more a believer than I am a doer. Because it's my believing that causes me to do. Does that make sense? But listen to what it says, but that no man is justified by the law. Do you know what the word justified means in this verse? He says, no man, that means anybody, is not made righteous or made just before God. Think of the word justified as being just as though you never sinned. Do you know when you're justified, it's like you've never sinned. Like you've never, ever, ever told a lie. Never, ever, ever cheated. You've never stolen anything. You've never cursed anybody. You've never been angry. You've never hated anybody. It's like to be justified is an awesome place to be. Because you can't do that on your own. You cannot justify yourself if you're a sinner. Sinners cannot get rid of sin. They're sinners. It's kind of like a leopard with spots. The leopard can't get rid of his spots, can he? He's got them spots for life, doesn't he? Sinners they're sinners. They just naturally sin because their nature is to sin. It's their nature to sin. It's their nature to lie. It's their nature. That's where they're comfortable. That's the way of life for them. Lying is a way of life for the sinner. It should not be a way of life for the Christian because you're not in that world of living anymore. You're not a sinner anymore. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You now are a born again child of the living God, and now you've been given the nature of God, and you've been justified by faith in Christ Jesus because the blood is what took care of sin in your life. When you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, God sent his son to the cross for you and me, and he died on that cross, and you believe that he really died and he was raised from the dead. Oh my goodness, a lot of people died on a cross, but it was there only one that was the sinless, perfect Son of God who was raised from the dead for your justification and for your salvation for eternity. And he never has to come back and do that again. Ever. He'll never come back and have to die again on the cross. The sin problem was dealt with when he died and shed his blood. And he personally, when he came up out of hell, he personally gathered up his own blood and took it back to the throne of God and presented it at the mercy seat of God for the entire human race. And it has never left that presence of God. It's still there at the mercy seat. So when you get born again and you believe Jesus was your Savior and he saved you and died for your sin and you asked him to, you repented of your sins, you wanted to come into the kingdom, you want to serve God, you want to give your life to God, then you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Sinners do not get forgiven. Did you know that? Let me say something very clear, something up in your thinking. Sinners that have never been born again, they don't get forgiven. They get redeemed. Christians get forgiven. Christians get forgiven because the blood is still there. Now we go back to God when we sin. We say, God, forgive me. And he says in John 1:9, search the scriptures and see if what I'm telling you is the truth. Because sinners are redeemed first. They've got to be born again and get into the kingdom to be children of God. Because they're not even children of God yet. They're children of the devil. Sinners don't get forgiven. Sinners get redeemed. You've got to get them redeemed first, because it's kind of like when Adam fell, it was like the new birth in reverse. They took on the nature of Satan. They became filled with sin and darkness, and the nature of the devil come into them. And now they got to get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So you get a sinner redeemed, and then he becomes a Christian. You pass from death into life. You come out of the kingdom of darkness. You're translated into the kingdom of light. So now you have a whole new nature now. You've got a nature. He's put taking that stony heart out of you, like it talks about in Ezekiel, I believe it is. And he says, I give a take out a stony heart and I'll put in you a heart of flesh. And it'll be a heart that wants the things of God. Now you got to tweak it sometimes. Like we prayed today. We said, God, put a stirring in me for more of you. And he'll do it. He will do it. So let's look at this verse in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man which doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You see, you only get redeemed once. Jesus only went to the cross once. You get redeemed from the nature of the devil. And you now become a child of the living God. You get born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. In other words, you can't even hear a revelation word from God. You need to be born again. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to know? Amen. I'm so thankful I know God. Y'all thankful you know God. Amen. I got another verse I want to share with you. It's in Romans. In fact, I got a few more verses. Romans chapter 8. I'm convinced that for years and years I struggled to just know who in the world am I in this new birth. What did the new birth give me? What do I have now? What is mine? What is available to me? How do I walk in this great plan of salvation? What is this all about? If I'm not living by the law anymore, and I've got to live by something called faith, how do I do that? So I'm going to show you a couple of verses here. Verse 11 of chapter 8 of Romans 8, verse 11. Really, I believe more about your relationship, allowing him to be big in you. Because now you've become the temple of God. When you got born again, he came and made his abode in you. And you're now you're born again of the Spirit. So he inhabits you and he is in you. He indwells you. You are God indwelt being when you get born again. That's what happens. And if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, then there's gifts that come. Gifts come. The Holy Ghost is there, but you need the power gifts to come with the baptism. That's another work of grace. But look at this verse. But if the Spirit of him Is everybody there? Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. In other words, you've been redeemed. You've been born again. He's now in you. He's and Romans is written to Christians. It's not written to sinners. In fact, most of the New Testament isn't written to sinners. It's written to Christians. It's written to the churches. Churches are full of believers, right? So he's saying here, if he's living in you and you've been redeemed, I mean, now there might be sinners in the church listening to this, but he's talking here. He says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, look at what he says he'll do. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, oh, I love that word also. You have to highlight that word also. This is the also part of the Holy Spirit. He's real good at raising things from the dead. Holy Ghost knows how to raise dead things. Holy Ghost can raise anyone from the dead. If God can take, the Holy Spirit can come down and raise Jesus from the dead as he was, don't you think he can do something with you and me? He can do something with me. He can do something with your life. He says he knows how to quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, we've read that verse many, many years, been taught. Well, that's when you die and you're going to be brought back to life. He's going to raise you up out of the grave. That's not talking about then. He's talking about right now. It's mortal means your death-bound body. This body is bound to die, but while it's still living, it's a bound, death-bound body. It's not going to live forever. So you've got a mortal body that will die one day. It doesn't say that he's going to raise your dead body. It's a mortal body. And the Spirit that's dwelling in you, and you're dead, he ain't dwelling in you anymore. In you now, right, to do something, to bring you revelation and to quicken you, to bring life to you, to bring glorious life to you. I'm telling you what, you can see things with newness of life. You can see things. You can know things by the Holy Spirit. You know, he promises in St. John. Let's look at some of these verses in St. John. I get so excited when I think about what he has taught me about. I remember very clearly, like it was yesterday, being a baby Christian and just so hungry for God. And I'm so hungry for God that I just can't do anything but seem to read the Word and seek God. And I want to know, what did I get in the package plan of salvation? What belongs to me? What is mine? Well, is healing mine? Is deliverance mine? What comes with the package of being born again? Well, there's a whole bunch of things. And you have to get it by revelation of Jesus Christ. It cannot be taught to you by man. If man comes along and teaches you, well, by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, and that's all you got. That's all you got. Okay, I believe that. You didn't believe that. You don't really believe that. Not until it's a revelation to you, you don't believe it. Because you only believe it with your heart through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's got to come by a quickening force of the Holy Ghost who quickens that mortal body. It'll make your brain think different. It'll make your mouth talk different. It'll make you act different. I mean, the Holy Ghost is my comfort. I have been so grief-stricken. I've been so grief-stricken and such a puddle on the floor that I've gone to him and I say, now you're going to have to do a miracle in me because I'm a mess. Instantly. Flood me with comfort. Flood me with joy. Flood me with peace. I'm telling you what, I was like, whoa, this is too good to be true. This is better than any injection any doctor ever gave me. This is better than any pill I ever took. And just jump up in the midst of that crisis and just praise God full of glory. You tell me that ain't God. That's God. And he'll do it for anybody. If he do it for little old me, he'd do it for anybody. Amen. Anybody. Anybody. Now I go to funerals. I go to funerals and people are just bawling and squalling. And you know what I do? I run around grabbing them. I bind the spirit of grief in the name of Jesus. Get out of that person. And they're just happy all of a sudden. Well, I'm happy. What happened to that grief? It just left. Because it's of the curse. Grief and disease and sickness and death and everything that's of the devil is not of God. We've been redeemed from the curse. See, you've got to get this by revelation. I will never forget one day I was at this funeral and this girl was absolutely beyond herself in grief. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. She couldn't feel grief. She couldn't even cry anymore. That is a testimony. That there is a power that quickens you. The Holy Ghost is the key. The Holy Ghost is the key. Look, go to St. John. Let's look at St. John chapter. I've just learned how to lean on Him. I've learned how to lean on the greater one that's in me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. There is a greater one in me. And I've learned how to lean on Him. And you better not talk about me. You better not even be mad at me for very long. Because you're really not mad at me. I have forgiven you. But you don't want to offend the Holy Ghost who's in me. Do you see what I'm saying? I always you don't want to do that. You don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Please, Lord, help him not do that. Because he's touchy about things. You grieve him. Oh, please, Lord, please have mercy on him. Please, Lord, help him. You know how Moses was? He was ready to kill them all. And no, Lord, kill me. Spare your people. Because God is a sovereign God. And he will do whatever he says he will do in this word. We just have got to get it by revelation. You have to get a revelation. How can you walk away from that? So here's a revelation coming at you. Let's look at St. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. So we have the promise that he says, I'm going to send you someone to be with you. He told the disciples this. He's the Spirit of truth. Now, being the Spirit of God is indwelling you now, and you have someone called truth, that means you can also know truth. But there's the levels of truth you can know. There's levels of truth I don't know yet. I know there's lots of levels of truth I do not have yet as a revelation, because I couldn't handle that truth. I couldn't. I don't believe God just throws a lot of truth on you unless you're ready to live in it. Truth comes by measure. Truth comes because you want it, for one thing. If you really want truth, you'll get it. And if you really want to know God's word, he'll give it to you. The Holy Spirit is there to give you truth and guidance. So let's go on down. Let's read a little more. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you just a few little things. He says he'll teach you all things. And then he'd only teach them to you, but then he'll bring them to your remembrance. He actually is going to remind you, did I not say that? And then it's up to us. See, we have to cooperate with God. My biggest thing has always been, Teresa, you get you out of the way. Get Teresa out of the way so God can just do what he wants to do with me. Your biggest problem will be your flesh. You'll always be you. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you. But let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit is a very gentle being. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a being. He's not just some poofy cloud. He's a person. He's the third part of the Godhead. He is God. He's God the Spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is in you. You're his temple now. And he's here to teach you all things. I can't handle all things, though, but he knows what I can handle. And when the all things are coming, there's a next stage. There's a next stage of all things. The all things are always there, because you can just know he's not limited in his knowledge. He just doesn't want to just dump everything on you yet, because you couldn't take it yet. You couldn't handle it yet. But he said he'll teach you all things. And then once he teaches you a revelation, you know, I've had revelations from the Lord, didn't even know I got a revelation of the Lord. And then all of a sudden it'll come back to me. Well, I must have read that sometime because the Holy Ghost just said it to me again. You've had to have got it first for him to remind you of it. He brings it to your remembrance. In other words, he brings it back to your mind. And then you say, oh, okay, okay. But the cooperation thing is, you got to cooperate with him. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, verse 26, he shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, the Holy Spirit also will testify. He will talk about Jesus. You never been in front of somebody and you didn't know what to say? Jesus told him in one place, he said, when they bring you before the kings and magistrates, don't take any thought what you're going to say, but it'll be given to you in that hour what you're supposed to say. You see, I don't sometimes even know what I'm going to say when I get up here to share. Or even when I get into in front of somebody at home or at work or wherever I am, the Holy Spirit will bring it what to testify, what to say, how to share. What do they need? Because see, God knows the secrets of every heart. God knows the weaknesses and the shortcomings, all of us. And he is there, but you got to be willing to be used of God, used of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now go with me back to Romans 8. Romans 8, and I'm getting ready to close. Romans 8. Romans 8. And I want to show you something that I think is real important. Romans 8, let's just read, starting with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at this. Let's just be real systematic about this and think about this. How would you like to live an entire lifetime with zero, zero condemnation? Zero. I'm talking eradicated from your being. Eradicated from your life. No condemnation. Isn't it an awesome thought? Mm-hmm. Never feel bad. Never feel like you failed. Never feel like you ain't good enough. Just no condemnation. No, zero. I'm talking no condemnation. Well, you know, the word wouldn't say you that it's possible if it wasn't possible. So there's a place to live where you never, it, you know, I've lived with people who are very verbally abusive to me. I've lived with abuse my whole life. From the time I was a child, my mother told me I wasn't any good. I wasn't smart enough. I'd never get a car, be able to drive a car. I was too dumb. I mean, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you get to feeling like, oh, I'll never amount to anything. Because, you know, your parents think that of you.
Right.
Surely it's true. You know, you accept lies of the devil. The devil uses people to lie to you. And so they'll tell you, you know, you're this, you're that, you can't mount anything. And then you get married to somebody that continues the abuse verbally to you and tells you, you know, everything that they do wrong is your fault. I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't done that and that and that. Well, I would have never had, that would have never happened if it wasn't for you. And you know, you walk around feeling like you're the problem all the time. You're always beat down. I'm not talking to anybody. It happens to me. It happened to me a lot as a child. And as a young adult, until I got a hold of this verse right here, and it got my attention because I didn't know anything but condemnation. I didn't know anything but, I'm the problem. Surely it's my fault that happened. It's always somebody's fault something happened, right? It's never their fault. It's always because of somebody did this or they did that or their grandfather did that or somebody did this and they had that problem and they did, and you just can't blame anybody for anything. But okay to blame Teresa. Blame me for it. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Nobody wants to own it, so dump it on somebody else. That's the way in the garden. Adam said it was the woman you gave me. The woman said it was the serpent. And then, you know, on and on. But that's the trail. That's the human nature, to always never own it. But God showed me, he showed me something about this no condemnation way of life. Because does having a revelation of this shut people up? No. They're still going to say things about you. They're going to still blame you. You can't change people. And see, this is not about me trying to make everybody make life good for me. This is not about me any longer trying to fix everybody. Because I can't fix anybody. I can't fix anybody if I wanted to fix anybody. I can't save anybody. I can't make anybody stop abusing me. Because they do that on their own. But I can get revelation of how to walk in a no condemnation way of life. And it then at that point, it doesn't matter what they say. They could say anything, but it doesn't affect you anymore. You don't receive it anymore. You've received a greater word. See, there's truth that trumps other things. The greater truth has trumped any other truth that they say. You know, it may look like it's good, may feel like it's good, but there's a greater truth. The revelation truth will always trump a natural truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you've got to get this in your heart, remember? It's got to be of the heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for see to the issues of life. So as you read in the Word of God and you say, there's now no condemnation, but I can't make them stop saying these things about me. But it all has to do with what are you hearing? With what measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you again, Jesus said. With what measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you again. There is a spiritual law in receiving the Word of God. And so I'm looking at this verse and I'm thinking, okay, how do I get to the place where I absolutely walk above this? It's my fault stuff. I'm not free of all condemnation. We're talking no condemnation. Why don't you still make mistakes? Don't you still make mistakes? Don't you still fail? Don't you still do things wrong? Well, yeah, but I got the blood, see? I'm now forgiven easily. I mean, boom, all I got to do is say, forgive me, Jesus. See, I don't have to answer to anybody but Jesus now. He's the only one that needs to be concerned. I need to be concerned about what he thinks. So if I've done something wrong, I go to Jesus. I say, Lord, I just missed it. I just messed up. I sinned. I just cussed that one out. I just lied. Please forgive me. From my heart, I'm sorry. It's forgiven. It is not like something I got to get on my knees and beg and cry and scream and squall and beat myself up or any of that. Because it doesn't come by my flesh. See, when you get past the realization that your flesh does not have anything to do with your walk with God at all. I can't even stress that one enough. As I know, my flesh, there is no good thing that dwells in my flesh. It's all about my human spirit receiving the revelation of God's word and the truth of God's word. And believing it above any other evidences. I don't need evidence to believe the Word of God. You don't need evidence to believe God's Word. Because for one thing, He's supernatural. He's a spirit. You can't see a spirit. His Word is a spirit. Holy Ghost is a spirit. But I've gotten a revelation of these things by the Spirit of God in my human spirit. And so I'm looking at the Word of God who's written now. He's in me. He's written His Word in my heart and my mind. Anybody getting what I'm saying here? It's a way of living.
Amen.
Your flesh, you don't consult your flesh anymore. So he says here, it's the ones who have learned how to not walk after their senses, the flesh. It's the ones who live after the spirit, their human spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit who's in them. That's exactly what he's saying. That's how you walk around with no condemnation. Wouldn't matter if you told me I was the meanest, ugliest thing ever lived. I wouldn't believe you. Because I've got a greater truth on this. The greater one's in me. God thinks I'm pretty special. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If he likes me, I don't care if anybody else likes me or not. If he says I'm healed, I don't care what my flesh tells me, I'm healed. If he tells me any truth, that truth trumps any other truth. That's walking in no condemnation way of life. And the devil can't do much with a person like this. Because he's all the spirit of life. And Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now death, we know, is of the devil. Don't we all know that death is of the devil? Mm-hmm. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's good news. Because sin is a very spiritual thing. It's a very spiritual force. But it's now been condemned to the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is the victory right here. I'm going to share some victory with you. If you want to walk in victory of no condemnation, you want to walk in victory of the revelation of God's word, stop minding your flesh. Stop minding what your flesh tells you. Stop minding it. Stop worrying about it, thinking about it. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? How am I going to have any money? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? You're just constantly minding and minding and minding the flesh. Listen to the pain. Listen to the symptoms. Listen to this. You're minding your flesh. How do you not mind your flesh? It tells you how right here. It tells you right here in verse 5. It's so simple. He says, but they that are after the Spirit, they learn how to mind the things of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. See, minding it, I mean, you think on these things. What things are pure? What things are lovely? What things of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's what I'm supposed to think on. I'm thinking on what it says in Philippians to think on. You got your checklist. You get this in your spirit, man. It's a revelation that I have that I can't afford to think on other things and have this peace of God and the no condemnation way of life. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've failed. Yes, I've hurt people. Yes, yes, yes. But I don't walk around in it anymore because I'm a forgiveness, forgive me, Lord, moment away. And I can't afford to let the devil have access to me. You can't either. Because you start agreeing with him. Yeah, it is my fault. Oh, yeah, it's because I'm no good. Oh, yeah, I just take it. I agree. Don't you be agreeing with no lie. Don't you be agreeing with no devil, because then you're giving him access to you. You got John 1:9. You know that? That's not written to the sinner. That was written to Christians. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you got to do what before it happens? No, he just says, you ask, forgive me, and it's forgiven. Forgiven. It's just, it's over. Isn't this good? Amen. This is good teaching now. I'm going to tell you what, I could just go on and on and on. But you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We know John 4:4. See, I don't think most people know that the greater one's in them. They don't understand how to lean on the greater one. There's a verse. Let's go to it this quick. I want to go show you something. Acts chapter 5, verse 20. Y'all know this story? They were imprisoned. Verse 17. Let's just start with verse 17 verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Words of this life. We're talking revelation life. Revelation words that will change your life forever. Speak to these. Go speak to these people. Speak to the people all the words of this life. What are the words of this life? Well, I've been speaking words of this life because it's a whole new way of life. It's not the old way of life any longer. It's a new way of life. It's a revelation life. And more truth, more revelation, more truth, more revelation. God, right now I ask you, Father, to search every heart, search every life. The deep things of God, you know what they need of the deep things of God, the revelations that they need. You know what every single person, the revelation that's going to be a life-changing revelation that'll put them over in life. You know, Father God, right now every person needs a truth from you, a revelation from you that will alter the course maybe of destruction they're on right now. There will be a revelation that will come to all of us, God, in a time of necessity, that there will be a time and a season and a crossroads of life. We'll have a Kairos moment that we'll have to decide, do we do this or do we do that? And that Kairos moment, God, can mean life and death to someone. So, Father, I'm asking, God, right now, that everyone that's hearing this message today, they will get a revelation of what they need right now personally. Everybody that needs a moment, a revelation moment right now, Lord, they're going to get it. 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 And they're going to hear it. And they're going to see it. And they're going to walk in it. And they're going to put their flesh down. They're not going to listen to their flesh. They're going to walk in the revelation of your word. They're going to trust you. They're going to hear the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit quicken their mortal flesh. They're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. They're going to be born again, filled with your Holy Spirit, ready for heaven. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.